The Kingdom Series, Part 2, The Scriptural Gospel, Part B. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a jot, not a tittle will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:17-19. And Yeshua went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Matthew 4:23. What is the gospel message, scripturally? If words mean things, then what do the words on the pages of the book reveal to us about the gospel? They say that Yeshua went about proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Not one time does Scripture ever say that he preached the gospel of salvation, as Christianity teaches, neither from Yeshua nor from the disciples. So then, just what is this kingdom that Yeshua spoke of? This gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh, described in Scripture, is not about personal salvation, in spite of what the traditional popular Christian mantra has become. One of the traditions of men handed down to us is the concept of what it means to be born again. There is no Hebrew equivalent to the English phrase born again, and is not referenced anywhere in the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Why is that? It is because the Hebrew people are the family of Yahweh. In fact, when answering Nicodemus in this passage from John 3:3-16, Yeshua chastened him for being a rabbi, a teacher of Israel, and not understanding what it means to be born of spirit, to be the embodiment of the living breath of Yahweh, which is the Hebrew nephesh. Yeshua likened his death in John 3:14 to that of the serpent raised on the pole in Numbers 21:8. While it is true that one of the definitions of the Greek word staros, translated into the English word cross, is pole or stake, it is the Hebrew word translated pole in Numbers that really should be the word to consider, because it is the word within the passage Yeshua quoted. That Hebrew word is nes, meaning something lifted up, a standard, ensign, banner, a sign. The Greek word hypsou, translated as lifted up in John, even agrees with the Hebrew in its meaning of to lift up on high, to exalt. This Hebrew word for pole, ness, is also the same word translated as the English ensign in Isaiah 11:10, which says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To him shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." notice the distinction between the people and the goyim, which is Hebrew for Gentiles. The Messiah, coming from the root of Jesse, who is the father of King David, will be that standard or sign lifted up, in other words, exalted, for the redemption of the family of Yahweh, Israel, the people. But to whom also will the Gentiles, the others, be drawn to? The exact meaning, hipsu, given for lifted up, found in Yeshua's statement of John 12:32. Yeshua said that just as Moses lifted up the serpent to become the conduit through which healing would occur, and they, the people, would live, in the same manner, whoever of the people beholds or embraces that ensign, Yeshua, would find healing and live, the restoration of rest to his being. Remember, Yeshua is speaking to Nicodemus, one of the people. That ensign is the conduit through which the Father provided healing, the restoration of the rest found originally in the garden with Adam, the first Hebrew, and lost through disobedience to Yahweh's word. To live in the restored kingdom of Yahweh, however, one must first become one of the people of the kingdom, the family of Yahweh, Israel, what the Gentiles seek, mentioned earlier in Isaiah 11:10. When a Gentile or foreigner, someone from outside the family, from another nation, becomes adopted into Yahweh's Hebrew family of Israel by observance of the standards set by the Father, it has always been the case that he is to be treated no differently from those naturally born into the family. If Gentiles are grafted into the kingdom of the commonwealth of Israel, with Israel as the root of the grafted branches, how can Gentiles expect to live differently from the natural branches of the kingdom apart from the root of that tree? What Yeshua was saying to Nicodemus was that Hebrews should know the source of life, because it is through the people of Israel that breath of life has been bequeathed. The traditions that the Pharisaical religious leaders embraced and taught to others separated them from the spirit of that life, thus necessitating a realignment for an Israelite to return into the proper orientation and awareness of who Yahweh is in truth. This was also the message of John the Immerser. Yeshua went on to say in this passage that without first becoming a member of this family of the fathers, Israel, which requires an embrace of this higher standard of life set apart from the rest of the world, keeping the 10 words, a person cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. One must first embrace Yahweh's family, Israel, through the keeping of his words in order to even see there is a difference from the world. Only after making that point does he go on to say, then does the opportunity present itself that through water, repentance, and spirit, revelation through Ruach HaKodesh, reading right to left is Hebrew for the holiness of spirit, for one to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 5. It is from this understanding that Shaul could make the statement that not everyone who thinks they are of the family of Yahweh actually are. speaking of those who are ethnically born into the family but who have rejected the manner of life set forth in Yahweh's words. To be born again is not a confession of belief or an ideology. It is a way of life. You say you believe in Yahweh? Scripture says the demons also believe and tremble. Believing in and of itself is not what sets those of the kingdom apart from the rest of the world. Yeshua continued in this same chapter of John 3 to say that the judgment men incur as a result of following those traditions is a separation from the light. They suffer the judgment of separation from him because light has come into the world and they refuse to bring their deeds into the light of who he says he is. He is to be examined to see if those deeds are wrought in Yahweh or not. These principles of his kingdom are not moral guidelines. They are the definition of light. Yahweh is light. Therefore, if this is his kingdom, it is a kingdom of light. It is a universal phenomenon that light and darkness cannot exist in the same space at the same time. We have been given the choice to determine our station in eternity, whether we will live in the light of righteousness, of truth, or whether we will live in the darkness of lies, what our own will and the will of men purpose as the rules for living. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. If we choose to fashion the deeds of our lives after the righteousness of life Yeshua exampled, we know the Father lives in us as light, and we have peace. Altering the words of the code of conduct to fit our own purposes, to excuse our behavior, causes movement away from the kingdom of light. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, that men love darkness more than they love to bring their deeds into the light for reproof, to see if those deeds are wrought in Yahweh or not. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in Yahweh, and Yahweh in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by his Spirit he has given us. 1 John 3:24. Real peace, shalom, does not settle in our heart until we decide to abandon our deeds of whoremongering and drunkenness that result from giving ourselves to the other gods of the traditions of men and embrace the scepter of righteousness found in the life of Yeshua. It is not until we determine that we are not going to give over to darkness anymore, even if it kills us, that the power found in his virtue, from the Greek word dynamis, which means inherent power, causes us to overcome. This is what Scripture means to give no place to the enemy. If we do not allow darkness in our life, we have access to the presence of light, life, and his peace that passes all understanding. The 10 words are given to us to define what is the darkness that separates us from residing in the peace of Yahweh's light. What was the manner of life Yeshua exampled that kept him in the light? He said it was because he kept the commandments of his Father. What commandments was he speaking of? Each time Yeshua was directly asked how to obtain eternal life, his response was the same: to keep the commandments. He even repeated them so that there would be no misunderstanding as to which ones he was referring to. Our deeds determine whether we are walking in the light of righteousness or in the darkness of the traditions of men. The commandments were given to an already redeemed people as instructions on how to live within Yahweh's kingdom, as the definition of what is light and what is darkness, in order for them to remain in the presence of that all-consuming light. The only difference between the covenant described in the Tanakh, our original book, and now is that these words, once etched in stone, are now written on our hearts by Yahweh's Spirit. But they are still the same words. What the blood exchange of the kinsman redeemer did was to pay the price of reclamation to restore what the Father established in the Garden of Eden, being Echad, which is Hebrew for one or unity, in relationship with his family, which had been brought into the bondage of death, separation from the source of life, through the disobedience of the first son. The good news of this gospel that Yeshua preached is that the kingdom has now been restored to its rightful heirs. And as a result, through the pure blood of Yeshua, the Spirit of Yahweh has been shed abroad for all who adopt the culture of his kingdom to come and partake of the goodness of the Holy One of Israel. We who were once afar off can now come and be adopted into this family, Israel, who is sanctified by the Father of light. But first we must become as a child and approach him without preconceptions about who he is, accepting him for who he says he is, not who we want him to be. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of Yahweh for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Hebrew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16.